Brahma could see on the water there was a gigantic lotus-like white bedstead, the body of Sheshanaga, on which the personality of Godhead was lying alone. The whole atmosphere was illuminated by the rays of the jewels bedecking the hood of Sheshanaga. And that illumination dissipated all the darkness of those regions. Okay, Brahma could see on the water a gigantic white lotus bedstead that was the body of Sheshanaga, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead was lying there on the bed by himself. The whole atmosphere was illuminated by the rays from the jewels bedecking the hood, I guess the hoods of Sheshanaga, and it dissipated the darkness. Okay, next slide. Preksham kshipantam harito paladre sandhyabra nidher ururukma murdnaha ratno dadarau shadi shomyam manasya vanashrajo venu bhujangri pangrehe. Translation. The luster of the transcendental body of the Lord. Okay, so we got the light from the jewels of Sheshanaga, and we have luster of the transcendental body of the Lord. Mocked the beauty of the coral mountain. Okay, his luster mocks the body of the coral mountain. The coral mountain is very beautifully dressed by the evening sky, but the yellow dress of the Lord mocked its beauty. There is gold on the summit of the mountain, but the Lord's helmet, bedecked with jewels, mocked it. The mountain's waterfalls, herbs, etc., with a panorama of flowers, seems like but the Lord's gigantic body and his hands and legs decorated with jewels, pearls, tulasi leaves, and flower garlands mocked the scene on the mountain. My goodness. Okay. So very, very, these descriptions are so incredible. You know, and then Prabhupada translating them into English. You know, it's quite an artistic, poetic accomplishment. Okay. So purport, the panoramic beauty of nature. Okay, the panoramic beauty of nature, which strikes one with wonder, okay, may be taken as a perverted reflection of the transcendental body of the Lord. Okay, read that again there. The panoramic beauty of nature, which strikes one with wonder, may be taken as a perverted reflection of the transcendental body of the Lord. Myself, I haven't been very much struck with wonder at nature's beauty. Sometimes we get out of the cities and stuff and go up in the more on the mountains and traveling for long distances. A lot of times in South America too, because they're just less developed in some ways. And they get these very, very high, what do you call them, valleys and plateau and prairies and stuff. And that's how I remember. That's very kind of striking. Yeah. And then just recently, when the autumn season here, there's one road near Nithyagora Sundar's house when I went back over to our cave over there. And it was all the trees were just covering it, you know, making a canopy. Not very long, maybe just three blocks, you know. But it's an area where there's no sidewalks on both sides and stuff. So with all the autumn flowers, autumn leaves and stuff, that was really impressive. And again, I don't remember seeing anything like that around here in this area for the longest time. You know? And so sometimes, it does strike you, and that was actually, for me, it was actually amazing to see anything which was striking. Because usually everything's quite boring, you know, like that. But with the material nature, should have some striking aspects if we're going to stay here. But here it's saying it's just a perverted reflection of the transcendental body of the Lord. Perverted reflection. Okay. Then Prabhupada goes on and says, One who is therefore attracted by the beauty of the Lord is no longer attracted by the beauty of material nature, although he does not minimize its beauty. Okay, so he appreciates it. Okay. In Bhagavad Gita 2:59, it is described that one who is attracted by the Param, the Supreme, is no longer attracted by anything inferior. It's a little picture. Actually, if you look on the internet for Vishnu, you get so many pictures like that. Yeah, variety, and so many beautiful ones too. Shriman Narayan. Okay. Now this reminded us right away of Light of the Bhagavat, because Prabhupada's purpose is very short, and of course, it's just Lord Brahma is seeing the whole creation, and then he'll get, you know, authority from the Lord to create everything else like that and so on, and to do his service. Okay. So Light of the Bhagavat 28 says there, the fully beautiful scenery after the rainy season was attractive to the eyes of everyone, including Sri Krishna, the cause of all causes. And the picture is very, very nice. You know, we have these at 20, 30 megabytes. We got them for one project we did. And if you start looking at them, you see this many times, you'll see many subtle things. Like in this one, if you can see it, Krishna is playing his flute there, and one gopi in red is behind the trees. On the right are two gopis appreciating and everything else. But the gopi behind the tree, actually, she's indicating, no, with her hands like that, you know. And then far to the left, our left, is maybe it looks like kind of like Radharani, maybe with Vishakha and somebody. And maybe Radharani is thinking of coming to consort with Krishna there. But behind the tree is Lalita telling her, don't come. So there's a little drama there. You know, you're definitely motioning with your hands and like that and so on. You know, so you know, I heard that Tamal Krishnamurti discussed these the drawings with Madame Lu Yen Chuang, whatever it is, for a long time. He would go over each one and describe, take Prabhupada's descriptions. There were descriptions of how the painting should be done, and of course that would be very nice too if that got published and stuff. They make a nice little movie clip, you know, with them being read like that, and so on, with each picture. And Tamal Krishnamurti is explaining everything like that, and so on. So here maybe we do see a little window on the spiritual world. Now, of course, the rainy season, the beautiful scenery, this, of course, is Vrindavan Dham. You know? And so Vrindavan Dham is not displaying beautiful scenery to attract us, to get something from us, you know, because she wants to be appreciated by us and enjoy the appreciation, or else catch us and then get something out of us, you know. But she only wants to do something just for the pleasure, you know. What is it called? Ahoituki apratihata. Ahoituki apratihata. Her service, she doesn't want anything else in exchange like that. She just wants to give something, you know, for this, you know, to please Krishna like that, you know. So, in the purport then, Prabhupada talks very much about the material world, I think. Okay, Prabhupada says, we should always appreciate the creative energy of the Supreme Lord. Beautiful nature, even though material and therefore temporary, is always full of the glories of the Creator. You know, maybe Prabhupada's talking to a little bit different audience here. He's talking to people who are coming for the first time, Oriental people, it was his idea, Japanese, Chinese, Korean. And so maybe on the pantheistic level, they're appreciating nature and so on. So Prabhupada's saying that it's temporary, but it is always full of the glories of the Creator. There is a class of philosophers who condemn the material creation as false. They say that Brahman is truth, but the creation is false. Of course, you all know the Sanskrit, jagat mithya, Brahma satya jagat mithya. Brahma satya jagat mithya. That is not good, Prabhupada says. The temporary creation is also a relative truth. It is, in fact, the temporary picture of the eternal creation. someplace else, Prabhupada says that a pure devotee lives in this world, material world, seeing everything as a replica of Vaikuntha. Of course, the mode of ignorance is totally reversed. The mode of passion is distorted, and the mode of goodness, it's an accurate reflection. Yeah? It's still a reflection, but now at least we can see what the spiritual world is like. The forgetful soul has no information of the spiritual creation known as the Sanatana Dham. But the temporary creation gives an idea of this original creation. The devotees of the Lord therefore make the best use of the bad bargain by utilizing the temporary creation in the service of the Lord. And Prabhupada goes on, everything emanates as different energies from the Lord, and thus everything should be engaged for His service only. Okay. It's coming out of Krishna, and the light's being directed to a certain direction for a certain purpose, whoever's controlling the spotlight. So we should understand it's the best way to use, use the illumination to see what it's illuminating. As soon as even temporary things are engaged in His service, they take on permanent values. So maybe we're in prison for something. We had a tough situation, and finally we stole a car, or something like that. Okay, so what happens? We go to jail, and then maybe we're saying, why I don't deserve this, this society is dishonest, and people who have cars are all cheaters and thieves, and so on and so forth. But at a certain point, we actually accept, the prison system, we're being restrained because we're dangerous to other people. There's a psychologist in there who can help us with our psychological problems. There's vocational training, and actually dentists and so many things. And at that point, the prison and our association, the prison, the people we accept as friends and companions, maybe with four or five other people, we kind of like form a group that's not going to get involved in doing bad things, that's going to protect ourselves and act properly. To that point, the prison life and our relationship with those people has permanent value. Even after we get out, maybe those four or five people will stay in touch, and they'll encourage each other and not to fall back again and to go on like that and develop, their whole life. So same way, we're in ISKCON, and maybe we're in male body, female, dog body, cat body, white, green, yellow, blue body, old, young. And this is temporary, But we have some kind of association here, which is sat. And so when we get out, that forms a part of our sat atmosphere. Maybe all the material nature, which is just meaningless, this disappears. But those things that were connected to Krishna, they take on permanent value. Okay? The process of such engagement in the service of the Lord is what the sages called chikitsitam, or well-treated. If we have some kind of trouble in the stomach from drinking milk, the physician prescribes the same milk in the form of yogurt, which is nothing but treated milk. Similarly, the temporary creation of the material world is undoubtedly full of miseries. But when accepted in terms of its relation with the Supreme Lord, the whole thing becomes as well treated as the yogurt. Yeah? So what is its relation with the Supreme Lord? It's a reform school, it's a hospital, it's a mental hospital, like that. So if we accept it as that, then the whole thing becomes well-treated as yogurt. Everything accepted in full God consciousness has its spiritual value. And by the grace of the Almighty, its material effects are diminished in terms of increasing degree of spiritual consciousness. That is the process of cultivating the human spirits. Die. And of course, that was the conference Prabhupada was invited to in Japan, was a conference on cultivation of the human spirit. So, of course, we've been using this. I was trying to find some very, substantial preaching programs, whatever. And finally, I remember we were driving down from Chosica to Lima one time in Peru, and somebody came to us and said, why not Light of the Bhagavad? It's a very classical book. It was designed for preaching. It matches our nature and character. So we started developing it. Actually, we have an index. We have a table of contents. And we printed it in beautiful full-size bilingual copy, Spanish and English. And also, we have a very, very nice movie we did with Oscar Natters, very nice person in Peru. He actually was chosen as best director of the year last year. So I guess our movie is now worth a lot more. So we had we've been doing a symposium. I remember one place we did a program. Where was it? I can't remember. I think it was in Chile. But the first night we had a university program, first day, and on Sankhya, I think. And some people, psychology, the Sankhya aspect. And so some people came for that, Then the next night, I think it was Thursday, Friday, I had to go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we have a movie we also made with him called The Universal Form, which just talks about it like this, looking at things from the pantheistic point of view and approaching God from that point of view. Then we get to something else more intense. The second night, I think we have actually a slideshow, which we have on this. We pick out three verses from the Light of the Bhagavad. And finally, last night we had the movie on Saturday there, somewhere like that. And then Sunday, people at this point, they're acclimatized to the Hare Krishnas, they seem reasonable, so we invite them to the Sunday feast. And one lady, she was a lawyer, and she just came to the first program like that, went to every single program, and in the end she bought Japa beads and her Bhagavad Gita stuff. So then I heard that Tamal Krishnamurti had been organizing the whole program at Cambridge University before he left his body exactly the same way, so very encouraged. So it's one preaching program, if you're interested. Of course, it's online. The texture there on database.com. And this is a very nice point. There are many, many nice points. Actually, the index we have, we kind of broke it up. There's a lot about Varna Ashram in Light of the Bhagavad. And it's not exactly in order. For example, one verse gives a very, very nice overview of the whole system, but that's maybe like the third time the topic appears. Then there's a very, very good section on sannyas. And there's a good section on Grihastha Ashram. The Grihastha Ashram is the peacock. The peacock is the Grihastha Ashram. And here we have this monk cultivating the human spirit. And the whole tradition, the book, by the way, is Chinese. The artist is Chinese, and it's probably wanted. And the style is Gongbi, or court style. And it's very much Taoistic, In so many parallels, of course, between China on that side and Indian culture. They have Nagas, they have Yamaraj, everything else. And so the monks, before the Buddhists, of course, there were the Taoists, and I'm not sure when. I guess the Confucius comes after both of those. And maybe that's the three major traditions. So he has his robe here, he has his Dhamma, and his Kamandalu. And it says that when you take a sannyas like that, you become like a white cloud. So up above in the top of the white clouds. And the Grihasthas have to do all this work. They got to carry water. So they can't be like white clouds and free to move everywhere and so on. Like that. And down in front there's a bird down there. I guess a heron or something. I look a little closer and he seems to be criticizing the guy like, hey, buddy, get a job. Or something, Get a job, fella. And actually, later on, too, the heron actually is a Grihastha in another verse, who won't leave the muddy and thorn-filled banks along the places along the bank of the river to go out to the clean water like that. He's caught up in all of his activities. So very, very excellent preaching program. And of course, Prabhupada's point here is exactly the same thing, that because we're attracted. I remember I was traveling, so I was very attracted. Yeah, very pretty attractive by 747s, the big airplane like that. And this, of course, the size is enormous. I think what it is, like three stories up to the stairs. If you don't go on a jetway, one time I actually had to go up to one of those things on the stairs. We got a real quick flight, and it was pretty spooky. It's quite a bit off the ground, like that. And of course, it holds 400 people. Has about a million parts or something like that. And it goes on and on. And in flies, fly whatever. They fly from like Los Angeles to, like the longest flight in the world was Los Angeles to to Melbourne or something like that, like 13 hours or something. Imagine that. So about halfway there, the pilots change over, pilot, co-pilot, everything else like that, and so on. So quite impressive. But I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is Maya, you know. But then I heard Prabhupada talking about it, and he said, oh, this 747, you know, the pilot pushes one button, and the whole thing flies in the sky. So Prabhupada was really appreciating it, you know. But then, as soon as I heard him say that, my mind automatically reacted, wow, if Prabhupada really appreciates the beauty of material nature and the ability in man and these beautiful things, understanding subtle laws and dynamics and all these things, you know, then Krishna must be really incredible. You see Krishna, you know, we're finished, like that. The greatest friend, you know, the greatest playmate. Everybody, I think, remembers this, of course. Of course, girls are maybe dragging their dolls back and forth between their friends' houses and talking. And guys like I remember we used to always go over to our friend's house and bang on the door and ask if mother or so-and-so could come out to play. And we have these, you know, little baseball games and stuff in their front yards and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, you know. So the playing activities, you know, are very natural, very intense, and so on. And so Krishna's body, Krishna's character, Krishna's pastime, Krishna's personality, you know. Not just using the gross things, but using the personal things, the personal relationships in Krishna's service, like that, like honor and heroism. You know, one can use heroism and determination and honor in Krishna's service. You know? And we do it as they take on permanent values, they take on spiritual values. You know, remember when we were in prison together and we made this promise to help each other? Yeah. Okay, I couldn't have made it without you. You know, well, thank you very much. You know, yeah. So pretty much that's the whole purport, and Prabhupada's saying that the more we can actually spiritualize the thing around here, you know, engage everything in Krishna's service, of course, the more the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged. You know? And it only depends upon Krishna wants us here. As soon as Krishna, you know, finishes off his activities, you know, and decides to go on to the next universe or whatever, then it's time for the Arjuna to dump out all of his weapons and give up all of his borrowed plumes, and go with Krishna. You know? So, the last point we have here is actually this Prabhupada quotes 259. So we kind of summarize it here, 254, 259. 254, chapter 2, verse 54, 2, verse 59. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? The Supreme Personality of God has said, when a man gives up all varieties of sense desire, yeah, all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arises from mental concoction, he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. Yeah. Of course, again, if the desire for sense gratification arises, you know, from the necessities of our service, okay, then it's not contaminating. Got to feed the body, you know, get the body in proper condition to do its service. But when they arise from mental concoction, okay, that's the problem. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, yes, maybe restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for such sense objects remains. Yeah. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So it's a Prabhupada verse quoting. If we actually see the body of Krishna, then we're not attracted by the external energy. Even as devotees, we see it. This is a replica of Vaikuntha, not actually Vaikuntha, but it's just nice. We're here, we have our service to do okay, you know, in that sense. But beyond that, if we're seeing it as an enjoyable objects and everything else, you know, then we're just not attracted anymore. This is not actually happiness, like that, and so on. So once we get the higher taste of seeing Krishna's body as the body of body of accepting service, whereas you see things in this world as the bodies of being exploited for our service, you know, that's kind of all we had on, you know, this particular verse. It was a very, very nice section. Lord Brahma, he's the creator, and Prabhupada says, anybody properly initiated by mantra into the Madhva Sampradaya, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, can create universes as Krishna did like that. And of course, what's the purpose? To create some place where all the other conditioned souls can make purification. So opening temples, maintaining a family, you know, maintaining a blog, you know, trying to follow in Lord Brahma's footsteps. So by hearing what he saw and what he did and how he got impetus, you know, then we can get, you know, strong impetus ourselves to do our service and develop our own universe for preaching Krishna consciousness. Okay, that's all we have. So any questions, comments? Anybody want to talk about the birthday of Lord Jesus Christ?
One more. Go ahead.
Just real quick, I was going to say that it's interesting how in the second verse, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning this coral mountain very matter-of-factly, as if we know what it is, and he doesn't really address it in the purport. You know, kind of like the Mount Meru, you know, you've heard of, everybody knows what it is, and the heavenly planets, the description there. So, you know anything about this coral mountain?
No, I was thinking the same thing. You know, of course, it was striking itself in my consciousness more and more. But like you say, Prabhupada says, you know, the coral mountain. Let's go back here. Maybe the Sanskrit actually is more indicative. Wow. PowerPoint's nice. I like PowerPoint. my motive. Okay. Yeah. Actually, it's probably going to have to go over to the database. I don't think I included the word-by-word meaning. Yeah. Okay. Adesham. So many places. Preksham, Kshipam, Arita, Upala, Adre. No, it just says Upala, Adre. Yeah.
You know, just because I thought it was curious, I looked up Bhanu Swami's translation from Dishanak Chakravarti Thakur, and Dishanak Chakravarti Thakur, he more concentrates on the previous word, that Upala is coral, but the previous word is Harita, which means green, so he translates it as an emerald mountain. So
okay.
Emerald.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Curious.
At least both. Yeah, but the thing is, Prabhupada also uses the specific article. What's the word? There's two. He doesn't say a coral mountain, but he says the coral mountain. Like that. Yeah. Like it's just one. Like I think it's one famous one. I noticed the same thing. Yeah. Yes. So many interesting things in this world. Actually, there's an unlimited number of material pleasures, and nobody can have all of them.
It's interesting how we all have a different perception. Within the material world, things, it's important that we see them in terms of what is, what can be conducive or not conducive to our spiritual life. And I was thinking that because you're talking about the beauty of driving and seeing different places throughout the world. I mean, Hawaii is known to be, you know, one of the jewels of this planet. It really is heavenly. And personally, I find it very conducive to spiritual life. You know, the weather, it never gets cold, it never gets hot. You can go swimming all year. There's beautiful palms. The water is turquoise. It's gorgeous. It's so easy to get up early in the morning and go for a beautiful walk. This morning, long before class, I took a walk up this beautiful mountain and chanted all my rounds. It's just overlooking the ocean, so gorgeous. Very conducive to spiritual life. But when Kirtananda came to Hawaii, he arrived at the airport and you could smell all the flowers and everything so beautiful. He said this place is like hell, because he was thinking that it's so heavenly that it's too seductive to draw one in to try to enjoy the material nature, independent of Krishna. So anyway, it's interesting that we all have a different perception of the material nature.
Yeah, that reminds me, because that's one point, is the Bhagavatam spiral is the same things again and again. You know, we're hearing the same information. Actually, there's, you could go through the kind of the general principles, what we have to understand, the cosmology, the relationships. Yeah, there aren't that many, you know, like that. Yeah. Okay, by rendering service, supreme occupational duty, swaipum sum. Yes, yes. Okay, months ago. Apavargasya anartasya, apavargasya anarto vitayopakalpate. Kamalobhaya. So the next verse. Life's desires, 1-10. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life of self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So our thing, like you're saying, is to have not too much, but also not too little. You know, there should be enough stimulation from fragrances. What's the devotee, Goridas Pandit, he said he was fanning Prabhupada every day during one lecture time, actually quite a bit, different places, Chamar and so on. And he brought Prabhupada one like nice tropical flower there, and Prabhupada smelled it. And then he brought him, and see, he appreciated it, he kept smelling it during the class. So he brought another one, and for maybe 3 days in a row. And the fourth day, was a little later, didn't bring it, so Prabhupada held out his hand and kind of smiled and looked at him. And so he ran away and got the flower. Yeah. And so Prabhupada was talking about aromatherapy. You know? Not the those fragrances adjust the life there in the body like that and so on. So fragrances, taste and food, which is fragrance, is very important for having good, healthy body like that and getting, you know, subtle energy, subtle motivation and stuff like that. You know? So understanding the material nature and living properly here and understanding the whole purpose of this place is to purify us and give us motivation to go to the spiritual world. Then with that understanding, probably understanding that, then we can naturally pick, achahara prayasas cha, we can naturally pick out, you know, what kind of things we need, like that, and so on, and how much we need, yeah. Right?
Dhanyavad, Maharaj.
Ah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Of course, we're on a different calendar. We had some technical difficulty here getting online this morning, and I just came in close to the middle where you had a purport on the slide that says we should all appreciate the creative energy of the Supreme Lord. Where is that purport from?
It's Light of the Bhagavat 28.
Is it Prabhupada's purport?
Yeah, yeah. It's Light of the Bhagavat. Yeah.
Light of the Bhagavat, but the original, it's drawn from the Bhagavatam. Do you know the reference?
Yeah. You see, Light of the Bhagavat, you can see it now, I guess. It was, Prabhupada was supposed to go to Japan to participate in a conference on cultivation of the human spirit. So then he decided to take this one chapter, which is description of autumn, yeah, because he thought Oriental people are very attracted to scenes of nature. Then he described how the paintings could be done and everything else, and he wrote the translations. If you look at the Krishna book, I think it's very parallel. And then, of course, this was done, I think, it was done after Prabhupada. I think it's chapter 35, and of course, Prabhupada didn't go beyond chapter 14, I don't think, like that. So I think it's later. You know, so all the translations in the Bhagavatam that are going to be by Gopi Puranadana, Hridayananda Maharaj. But it's very parallel with the Krishna book translation.
I see. Okay, and so it's in the Krishna book.
It's in the Krishna book, but again, it was separate. This is before Prabhupada did the Krishna book. So before he left India, it's like 1964.
What year was that? What year was that Prabhupada was supposed to go to China and then
it's in the preface of the book. It's in the preface. Yeah. Yeah. If you look at the Light of the Bhagavad,
is this Prabhupada's words?
This is specifically he wrote up a presentation. What do you see there? What it says right in the introduction, like that. Maybe you see if it's here. You go, you have good old vetabase.com, which we're sponsoring. Okay. And then we have Light of the Bhagavata. Okay. Okay. And there's, yeah, Preface. Okay. Hello, Harsh. Is that your kid? Somebody.
That's my parrot. That's Prahlad. Okay.
Krishna had trouble with parrots. There it is.
Krishna's parrot.
Of all of his divine graces writings, this work is perhaps the most unique. It was written in Vrindavan in 1961 in response to an invitation to attend a conference, the Congress for the Cultivation of the Human Spirit, held in Japan.
Nice.
As most of the participants were from the Orient, and know that's so on. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Before Prabhupada came. That's before Prabhupada came to America, long before.
50 years. And again, we're talking about it, but actually, that again, Tamal Krishnamars and the Giridhari Mars, they took up the actual work. And the artist, Madame Van Sinyu Lung, she's very respected, prominent person. And as far as I understand her vision was failing as she did it. And so she considered this a very divinely arranged thing. At one of the last big projects she would work on would be this book, this painting like that. And if you look at it closely, some of them, there's stories in them. You start seeing a story in the way it's set up, mentioning that. And others, you start seeing details, like all kinds of little details and stuff she put into it. Everybody asks where the original canvas is, and I don't know, But if she did them on, traditional materials, by now they probably would even look better, aged in beautiful silks and the stuff like that. So it's wonderful. Wonderful preaching tool. We have movies and everything else we use. We do symposia. And Tamal Krishnamurti is developing it, as he left his body in Cambridge. It's a wonderful book for preaching. And it's aimed to a certain kind of people. It's aimed to intelligent people, aesthetic people. It's not good for scientists on their rigid days, but it's good for the scientists on their relaxed days, like that.
When was it first published?
I'm not sure. Tamal Krishnamurti and the Hong Kong BBT did the first edition like that. It had a fold-out page and everything. It was 8.5 by 11, and one page had folded out, and so it made it very broad.
Was it after Prabhupada's departure?
Yeah. Actually, it'll say right here. The chapter he selected was the so-and-so all together. Okay. Prabhupada was to have the design, make illustrations. Due to unfortunate circumstances, basically lack of money, Srila Prabhupada was unable to attend the conference, and the whole project of Light of the Bhagavad was postponed. In fact, at the time of Prabhupada's disappearance, it remained unpublished. The task of completing this great project was therefore left in the hands of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust publishers. Okay? Particularly, the work was assigned to the Hong Kong branch of the BBT. Okay? Yeah. So, Madam Lee Yuan Shang. As the artist.
Okay. So I have one other thing about the flowers.
Yeah.
Flowers are actually one of the opulences of Hawaii. I think Prabhupada mentioned it. It's just paradise for deity worship. So, because fragrant flowers are needed, and they're all over the place. But I to flip it to the other side, has anyone that's been around a night blooming jasmine? We had one in San Jose, and
they're intoxicating.
So it wafts. I mean, you go right up to the bush, you can't smell it. You get about 10 feet away, and it's heady. It's really thick. It's almost like eating, and so this fragrance, it wafts its way up. We were on the second floor in the Brahmachari Ashram, and it would just come in the window. And one of these bushes was planted in front of the building where Srila Srinivas had his room upstairs on the second floor. And, of course, the devotee planted it there for some seva, but it was disturbing Srila Shudamar so much that he was smelling something that hadn't been offered that he had it taken out.
Yeah. Maybe he could have Sri Vishnu the whole bush or something like that. I know Sankirtan devotees used to walk into supermarkets and then say Sri Vishnu three times, offer the whole supermarket.
We have another bush in Hawaii that's very similar to night-blooming jasmine, mock orange, in the Solanaceae family. And when that mock orange goes off, I'm sure Vidagda and others are familiar with it. When mock orange goes off, it's just like mock orange. It's just like a night-blooming jasmine. It's so strong that you could smell it a block away, and it's just totally intoxicating. It makes some people sick. I mean, it's Kali Yuga, people.
Like you're saying too, is that when we have Mount Kailas, it was about 1,200 feet or something. In Northern California, was a valley, about 250 acres. We had it. And one time the pennyroyal would all come in, entire valley of pennyroyal for like 3 weeks. It was kind of like a mint. Then the chamomile. And so the same way, and the water was like had a lot of minerals in it. And so when you went there, it was so peaceful. At nighttime, the stars would come out. There was nothing to do. Beautiful stars. You could just sit there on the porch of the devotees and just, rock back and forth and just look at the stars and smell the pennyroyal, hear all the frogs croaking, thousands of little frogs. And the water again. So I could go there and just live on the water and, like you're saying, in the air like that for just a few days. It was so satisfying to the body and everything else. You know, didn't have to try and get your prana through the stomach.
Maharaj, I just wanted to say something real quick. I really appreciated how in these verses, like the first verse, this wonderful description about how Seshanaga, his body, is just like a lotus flower. You know, you think about a lotus flower, it's that waxy surface, white waxy surface. So that's like Seshanaga, and he's got all of his hoods, so it kind of branches out like a lotus flower. Isn't that a beautiful description? And it's interesting how Lord Brahma, he went down into the lotus, because he's thinking there's got to be the origin here in the water, and he couldn't search it out, and then he went into meditation, and then he finally sees everything, Seshanaga and the illumination of the atmosphere all around. But before, he couldn't see it. So you read in the Bhagavatam the descriptions, about the universe of the Puranas, boy, where is that? We don't see all these waterfalls and mountains and big trees and elephants are holding it up. And just like Lord Brahma, he didn't see anything. But then when he was, he got the vision by the Lord's grace, then he saw the true nature of what is what. So anyway, I thought
we can't even see the atomic world. And according to their description, then you start seeing the electron microscope and stuff, and it shows all these different combinations of, of atoms and molecules and so on. So even time factor, again, if you look on the YouTube there for dancing flowers, there's quite a few pretty good size time lapse things with music of flowers, different flowers blossoming. So just take a different time scale, and there's different universes. What to speak of different dimensions and that kind of stuff, but there's even different, living a faster or a slower life. So there's so many different kinds of universes, where these things occur. Okay, I guess we should go. Actually, I got to kind of be packed up here today because we're doing a whole program over on Tagore Sunu's house, and for Shri Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Avrabhava Mahotsava. One lady in Chile, named Lila Shakti, Mama Lila Shakti. She used to have a whole program where they would bring gifts and so on. It was actually nice. It was a Jesus Christ, Guru Puja, program like that. It was nice because devotees had something to do, but also the glories and stuff were very substantial. Creating an atmosphere for Prabhupada could come and everything else. I looked on the internet, on the database, not the letters and everything else like that. And the letters, I understand, is a lot. Public room conversations and everything else. This and thebetabase.com is many, many nice things. I forget one of the points Prabhupada talks about. I forget what it is. It's actually quite astonishing. It was about Kashmir. Prabhupada said it's somebody who discovered this, said this place that Prabhupada... Oh, yeah. He said that after being exhumed, his body being exhumed, and Jesus Christ left and went to Kashmir. And Prabhupada mentions it in the purport. He doesn't say it's a fact, but he gives pretty enough evidence to actually include it in the whole purport. And the place is in Kashmir, and even on the YouTube they have some videos of it. It's apparently described as the tomb of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, I think. And his mother, apparently Mother Mary, left her body on the trip there. And the kind of ironic thing, which maybe adds some credence to its validity, is that it's not being taken care of by Christians, it's being taken care of by Muslims. And the Muslims are venerating it, like that and so on.
Hmm.
So Prabhupada talks about how the yogis can do this. They can keep themselves fit in the body for hours. And Prabhupada even says for many years, if I noticed that, first time I noticed that. Because maybe for 1 year or 2 years, but there you see me, like he says, for many years, yogis can keep their body in that kind of state. Okay, so thank you all very much, and we'll be going here. But please don't let us interrupt the conversations. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
All good.
See you next week.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.